Alvin, what are you thinking about?
No, I'm just thinking what a great thing it is to be alive. Breathe the mountain air and the smell of sweet peas and honeysuckle blossoms. And to see you sitting right here beside me, Miss Gracie. What are you thinking of?
That I hope this never ends.
Well, winter's coming.
No, I mean you and me. Being together and wanting to be together.
Well, I ain't going nowhere.
I'm stuck with you then?
I believe you are.
Well, good then.
You know, I've been working hard these last few months and making $1.60 a day. And I've been saving it. And if work keeps up, I might have enough put by next spring to get, you know...
What?
That mule that old man Russell's selling.
Oh.
Well, it's a good mule.
I'm sure it is.
No, he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that Alvin. Whew, he was beside himself. He loved Gracie Williams as much as the cat loved a cream jar. He just didn't know how to tell her. I suppose, like most guys, he tried using a code.
He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but we should love in deed and in truth.
I wonder who that could be. Get it, will you, Alvin?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, evening, Pastor. Come on in.
Evening, Alvin. Mrs. York.
Hello, Pastor.
Well, Gracie, I'm glad you're here, too.
Good evening.
We're just reading from the good book, Pastor. Maybe you'd like to read the next passage.
Well, not right now, Alvin. I'm here for another matter.
Well, you look upset, Pastor.
Truth is, my mouth's dry enough to spin cotton, and that's something for a preacher.
Well, if it's bad news, then it's best to just say it and be done with it.
This telegram come today for you, Alvin.
A telegram for Alvin?
I don't think I ever got a telegram before.
Who's it from, Pastor?
The United States government.
Notice of call and to appear for physical examination.
It's a draft notice, something. They've called you to the war.
Oh, Alvin!
Oh, heaven, help us.
Oh, what can we do?
There's nothing to be done. I ain't going. They can call me and they can call me. They can't make me do nothing, and that's all there is to it.
Alvin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Pastor. I guess that old sinful man was creeping up on me again.
That's all right, Alvin.
Well, the good book says to be subject to the authorities over us, doesn't it, Pastor?
That it does, Mrs. York.
Then that's it? Alvin has to go off to war?
Well, there is one thing we might try.
I'd surely be grateful to hear it.
It says on this notice that a person can claim for exemption or discharge. That means you're something the government calls a conscientious objector.
Well, leave it to the government to come up with so many syllables. What's that mean?
Well, it means that you're asking them to let you off because your church teaches again fighting and killing.
And they'll let you out of it for that?
Well, I've heard stories that it's worked for some. All you have to do is file a paper with the government.
Well, let's do it.
But, Alvin, it won't be easy.
I never much worried about things being hard.
Folks don't take lightly to men who won't go to war. They'll call you lily-livered, say you're a coward.
Well, I reckon I've been called worse.
All right, then. We'll fill out them papers tomorrow, and then we'll see.
Well, bless you, Pastor.
Thank you kindly, Pastor. Thank you. Rejected?
I'm afeard so.
But why? It fights against his beliefs. It's against his beliefs.
Well, you and I know that, Gracie, but the folks making this decision say that our church ain't part of a mainline Christian denomination.
Well, what's that matter? Like Gracie said, if I'm agin it, I'm agin it.
Besides, Alvin provides for me and the boys. Don't that matter?
Not enough, I'm afraid. I filed a hardship waiver saying it'd be tough for your family without Alvin. But the government said that as there are other healthy sons at home, he ain't needed.
Well, that's what they say. That don't mean I'm going anywhere to kill folks.
If you don't go, Alvin, the government will put you in jail.
So, you're my pastor. What do you think I ought to do?
Well, I suppose there's nothing to do but go, Alvin. Anyhow, who knows? God might be up to something in this business. And when he calls us, then he's gonna equip us. Might be that he'll work it out so you won't have to fight.
Do you think so?
Well, I don't rightly know. Oh, I'm sorry about all this, son.
Well, it ain't your fault, Pastor. I do thank you for trying.
Would you pray for Alvin, Pastor?
I surely will. Lord, we entrust your good servant, Alvin York, here to your guiding care and protection. Lord, he's going to fight them Germans, even though he don't want to. I'm asking you to keep him safe. Bring him back home to his mom.
In November of 1917, Alvin York said goodbye to his family before boarding a train for Camp Gordon in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'll look in on your ma regular, Alvin.
Thank you, Pastor. Ma.
I'll miss you, son.
Now don't let my brothers run roughshod over you, Ma. You tell them they'll have to deal with me if they try.
We'll do our best.
Oh, Alvin, it don't seem fair you having to leave like this.
I'm a-coming back. And when I do, I'm hoping that... Well...
Yes, Alvin?
You're a handsome woman, Gracie. Any man would be proud to have you on his arm.
And?
I don't know what I'd do if I came back here and find some other fella had weaseled his way into your affections.
Well, I ain't been spoke for yet.
Gracie, I know it ain't the best time, but well, I'm speaking now. Will you wait for me?
Oh, Alvin!
Does that mean yes?
Yeah, Alvin York, you're a fool. It's been yes since I first met you.
Oh, you heard her, Pastor. Now, don't be marrying her off for no man before I come back.
All right,
man. There's things a mother wants to tell her son. Seems there's just ain't ever enough time.
You just tell me when I get back, Ma.
I got something for you, Evan.
A Bible. Thank you, Pastor Pyle.
Ain't no sergeant or general that guides your steps, Evan. It's the Lord. And his words are inside of that book. Just follow those orders and you'll be fine.
Thanks. Oh, you wrote in it.
Those are the words of a hymn that's brought me great comfort through the years.
What's it say, Alvin?
Oh God, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future broadening way, in peace that only thou can give, with thee, O Master, let me live.
Oh, those are good words, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
I got something for you, too, Alvin.
Oh, no, you didn't need to do that, Gracie. Leather book.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, I think you've been swindled. There ain't nothing on these pages.
It's a journal, you dunderhead, and I expect you to write in it every day so that when you come back, I can read about everything that happens, whether it's good or...
I'll write in it with regularity, Miss Gracie, I will.
Let's go, all aboard.
Train's leaving, Alvin.
Goodbye, Ma.
Be safe, son.
Pastor.
Bye, Alvin.
Miss Gracie.
Alvin, look, you come back to me. You hear?
I will. Bye. Hey, somebody stop that train. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye, Alvin.
I love you, Gracie Williams.
And God go with you.
Alvin York arrived at Camp Gordon on November 16th. He was assigned to Company G, 328th Infantry, 82nd Division.
Yeah, and for a backwoods boy who hadn't even been outside the county, York was astonished by all the different men he met, and he seemed determined to meet them all.
Yep. Excuse me.
Oh, howdy. Name's Alvin York.
Robert Kaczynski.
Oh, I got a brother back home named Robert. I hope you can shoot better than him.
That depends on whether you expect me to hit what I'm aiming at.
Oh, and who might you be?
Name's Harry Parsons. Good to know you, boys.
Likewise.
Hiya. Where are you from, York? I never heard an accent like that before.
Tennessee.
Pall Mall area.
There's green hills there. Not like this flat, sandy country.
Hey, at least you can call this country, right? I'm from Brooklyn. The only country there is the patch of lawn that holds my trash cans.
What'd you do there?
This and that. Vaudeville, mostly.
Vaudeville? What's that?
You know, a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants. A
little what down your where?
Never mind.
At ease, men. I am Captain Danforth, your camp commander. In case you haven't figured it out, you are now a part of the 82nd Division, also known as the All-American Division. Beside you are men from every state in the Union, each one dedicated to preserving liberty and safeguarding our country. In the coming weeks and months, you'll all work harder than you ever have. You'll be trained and prepared for battle. Though you should understand right now that all of the training in the world can't prepare you for the realities of the battlefield. The decisions you make, the way you behave, well, that's up to you. But remember this. The men fighting beside you will, by necessity, have to trust you. So we'll work you hard to make sure that trust is deserved. You understand me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good. Where is Alvin York?
Here, Captain.
York, I saw in your paperwork that you put in as a conscientious objector. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I'd rather stay out of the fighting if that's possible.
If that's possible. And would you also like daily bubble baths and aftershave lotion?
I don't reckon that...
You're heading into a war, son. There is no staying out of the fighting.
Yes, sir.
Now, the men here need to know they can count on you to watch their backs. I need to know now. Can they or can't they?
I'll do my best, sir. Short of killing anybody.
Short of... Tell me, York, are you a coward?
No man ever called me that and stayed standing for long, sir.
So you'll fight for your pride, but not for your country.
That's not what I meant, sir.
Here's what I think, York. You better decide what you do mean and do it fast. Now fall in!
Boy, that's great, York. So what's your beef with fighting the Kaiser and his pointy-headed pals? You have relatives over there?
No, Harry. I just ain't keen to do what the Bible says not to do.
You're a Christian?
Sure am, Kaczynski.
You know, I went forward at a revival meeting 5 years ago back home in Illinois.
Is that so? That's wonderful. Well, now I got someone to job out the Bible with. How about you, Harry?
You saved?
I never came across God in New York. And I bet we don't see much of him over in Germany either.
Maybe the reason you ain't found him is because you ain't been looking.
Most everyone took to Alvin straight away. He was a humble man, but with strong Christian resolve. And his faith inspired many of us. It was so simple, uncomplicated. We all respected it. Well, not all of us. Captain Danforth had some problems with it, for obvious reasons.
Company! Halt! That was disgraceful. You men march like a bunch of wayward sheep. I can see we'll have to work harder tomorrow. And we will. Company dismissed.
York, what's the matter with you?
Nothing, Harry. I feel fine.
Yeah, that's my point. Why aren't you tired? It's unnatural.
Well, man stays in good shape working the farm. Though we did do more squad rights and squad lefts than I ever had to do behind a plow. Huh?
York, front and center.
Sir.
You're on cleanup duty. I want every cigarette butt within shouting distance picked up. Understand?
Cigarette butts?
Or do you want to file as a conscientious objector for cleanup as well?
No, sir. It just seems pretty hard to make me pick them cigarettes up when I don't smoke them.
No, I expect you'll get used to it. Because you'll be picking them up every day this week.
Yes, sir.
Get on with it. Pennington!
Yes, sir.
In my office, now.
I don't think the captain likes you very much, Alvin.
He's a hard man.
I suppose he needs to be. It's a hard time.
Kidding me, Parsons? You do know you're aiming for that round thing out there in the field? It's called a target.
Yes, sir. Though if it was shaped like a tin duck...
Tin duck?
Yeah, I hit one once at the county fair.
Step aside. Who's next?
You're up, Alvin. Don't forget your gun. You know which end to shoot from, right?
I'll figure it out, Robert. Thanks.
York, have you ever shot before?
Yes, sir.
Really? Tuck the stock into your shoulder. Look down the barrel and sight on the target. Or would you prefer a tin duck, too?
I'm all right with the target, sir.
When you're ready, take a breath and squeeze the trigger. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Fire!
Bullseye!
Whoa! Ooh.
Bullseye. A lucky shot. Fire off another round, York.
All right.
Miss!
Just as I thought.
Well, I didn't miss, Captain. That man needs to look a little bit closer.
At what?
The bullseye, sir.
You're testing my patience, York.
If I were a gambling man, sir, I'd bet you cleanup duty on it.
All right. Check the target again, Smith.
Yes, sir.
But I'll have you know that I am a gambling man. And if you're wrong, you'll be cleaning the latrines until this war is over.
Sorry, sir. Perfect bullseye. Hit just inside the last shot.
Oh!
Well, I'll be.
I can keep this up all day if you like, sir.
Are you saying that shot wasn't luck?
No, sir. I've been shooting since I could walk. Though this rifle here needs to be sighted in proper. Tends to ear to the right.
You don't make sense to me, York. A man that doesn't want to fight but shoots like a veteran.
I never met a man that couldn't shoot a rifle. Well, not until Harry here.
Hey!
York, I'll see you in my office in 15 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Ooh! Been nice knowing you, Alvin.
What?
It's bad news to get called in the captain's office.
Well, maybe he just wants to talk about guns.
Oh, you are such a naive soul, my friend.
Come in.
Private York, as you requested, sir.
At ease, York. I was looking over your file again. I want to talk about your application as a conscientious objector.
Well, what's to talk about, sir?
The basis for your application. What's your reason for not fighting?
Well, I'm a Christian, Captain. And in the Bible, God makes it clear that he don't want folks killing one another. Life's a precious thing. The way I look at it, we shouldn't throw it away, nor take it away.
I see. And I agree. But there are circumstances when nothing else can be done.
Well, I'm a farmer, sir, and I found that if you can't plant wheat on your land, you don't give up. You plant something else, corn or taters or rutabagas. What I'm saying, sir, is that, well, it just seems that there's always another way around a problem.
Yes, yes. With reasonable men, that's true. But what happens when you're not dealing with reasonable men? And what if those men threaten your country and your way of life and your family? We have a duty to protect those things, son. Don't you agree?
Well, the Bible says that we should turn the other cheek, sir.
Yes. If someone strikes you, you might decide it's right to turn away. But what if a man hits your wife, your children? Should you turn away then?
Well, I don't know that I could, sir.
I don't believe that you should.
I don't know how to believe both ways, Captain. Killing is killing.
And protecting is protecting. They may sound like conflicting principles, but they're not. God himself told the Israelites to fight neighboring countries, and that involved killing. Is God confused?
No, sir, but...
So when a country has evil intent, it's up to us to stop that evil.
I got no hate in my heart for those Germans, Captain.
That's good, because you don't need hate to fight a war. You need love. Love for your country and your people. Are you familiar with Ezekiel 33?
I'm sure I've read it.
Well, yeah, here it is. It says, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." No one wants war, York. But when it comes, we must be prepared to fight. Not for pleasure, not because we want to kill, but because it is a terrible necessity.
You make some good points, sir. It's a lot to think about.
Then do think. We're shipping out soon. You have to know what you're going to do.
Yes, sir. I only wish I could get my bearings, sir. If I could just be home on my mountain, I could...
Your mountain?
There's this mountain back home in Tennessee, sir. I go there to cipher through things that puzzle me. Somehow, everything just seems to make sense up there when I'm closer to God.
I tell you what, York. Because I believe you can make a valuable contribution on behalf of your country, and that you'll choose to do the right thing, I'll give you some time to think it through. I'll arrange a pass for 10 days. Go home. Visit your mountain. And while you're there, remember, York, this country wasn't given to us. We had to fight for it. Men like you, men of great faith, spill their blood for it. It's because of them that you can live a free life. Don't you think your children deserve the same?
Thank you, sir. You give me a lot to chew on.